Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
So, for people who follow college baseball, the College World Series field has been set. There are 8 teams, and the reason I bring this up, you know Alabama's in, right, Steve?
Roll Tide.
Because you're an Alabama fan now, right, Steve?
I am told I'm an Alabama fan.
You're married into the family.
That's right.
You explained that because you just said now as if he's just hopping from day
well,
to day.
Well, Steve hails from, he comes from California.
And I've been open about this. This is not a secret.
He's not telling this.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Steve grew up in California and then lived in Colorado for a long time. And yes, there are some college sports out there, but that's mostly pro sport country.
Mm-hmm.
So then he moved to the South.
He married
an Alabama alum.
Okay.
That's the reason I bring this up.
Yeah.
So when she agreed to marry him, she said, as long as you become a
Roll Tide
fan.
Okay.
He said, I can do that.
For her, it's worth it.
So Alabama, better known for football.
Yeah.
But now they won their they're going to the College World Series Steve.
They are, yeah. Roll Tide again.
Along with let's see, Ole Miss made it.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Auburn. Texas made it.
Troy?
Troy's the underdog. Underdog story. Everybody's cheering from Troy.
They're the Indiana of baseball.
That's right. Yeah. They're from. For those who don't know, Troy is a university in South Alabama, Southeast Alabama. Used to be called Troy State University. Are they still call that? They just call
just
Troy.
Troy.
Okay, but they're the underdog invited to the party with the big dogs.
There you go. Someone for everybody else to root for, right?
That's right. And then we got North Carolina. They came back and beat USC yesterday. And then Oklahoma. Oklahoma beat Kansas. Georgia beat Mississippi State. And I cried.
Yeah.
Because that down went my school. So anyway, but College World Series is always a lot of fun and a lot of drama. And we will see what happens there. But I just wanted to bring it up because – You'll be pulling for the Roll Tide, right?
I will be pulling for a Roll Tide, yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's your first story, Steve?
May I just update everybody on what Heather and I did for the weekend? I want to have you guess. I'm going to play something. Heather and I went to a concert, and this is a little clip from the concert. See if you can tell who we went and saw.
All right.
Cut 16.
I don't know, the Gaithers?
The Gaither Vocal Band was in concert.
Oh, where?
In Muscle Shoals,
Alabama. Was that your recording?
Yeah.
Oh, was just with your cell phone?
Just my cell phone, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so the Gaither, they're still out there, huh?
They are.
Are they in wheelchairs or?
Well, no, Bill is 90 years old, but he's still doing it.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Kudos to a 90-year-old man who can go out there and still sing.
Absolutely.
Well, he's 90, and
but great
the other boys are... They passed their AARP.
He keeps rotating younger men to the quartet. Yeah.
So is Mark Lowry still with him?
Mark is not singing with him currently, although he may be back.
What about the gentleman with the long gray hair?
He's not either.
What's his name?
His name is not coming up to me right
now.
Guy Penrod.
Penrod
is not with them either. I could tell you.
They kicked them off. What happened?
Well, I think it's a rotating cast. Of thousands.
Oh, okay. But those guys are not spring chickens themselves.
No, but they're all
so,
really
so tell
good
me
singers.
About the concert. So is the
great
Gaither
concert.
Vocal Band in concert.
Plus some guests.
In Muscle Shoals?
In Muscle Shoals, Alabama, at a big, huge conservative Baptist church. I didn't know they had a CB church in Muscle Shoals, but I
tell you where Bill
church.
Gaither hit the jackpot with those
Gloria.
Videos.
Oh, yeah,
well,
the homecoming.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the homecoming videos.
Yeah, he's got another one coming out.
That's surprising. But we remember those things. Remember that those things became popular, what, in the early 2000s or whatever? Just one. And, you know, I
describe that for me. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Homecoming videos.
Gaither Vocal Band. You've heard of them, right?
I have heard
of them. You've heard of them. I wouldn't call them strictly Southern gospel, but they are.
Bill Gaither is probably one of the most prolific songwriters, Christian songwriters of the last, century.
That's right. But he's got a gospel, men's gospel group, that quartet type music.
Okay.
And they are phenomenal and have been for years. And so they created a video series.
Okay. Like on.
And I think it was just a whim, an idea that somebody had. Hey, let's get all these people together in a room and sing. And
all the old gospel singers that you grew up
with. So they put them all in a room and they videotaped it. This is the first one. They videotaped it. I think they were just doing it for fun, just for their own enjoyment.
No long term.
And then somebody said, wait a minute, I think we're on to something here.
Yeah.
And they began to offer them to the public, and they sold millions of homecoming, Gaither Vocal Band homecoming videos. Some of them were live concerts, but a lot of them were sit around and sing and talk and tell stories. And it was just, you can read about it. Gaither. What do you call it? The Gaither Homecoming series?
Gaither Homecoming.
Yeah. Video sales. Yeah. And I bet you Bill Gaither was tempted by wealth after that thing.
Maybe he was. I don't know. He's still going, though.
No, but I'm talking about, you know, money. The Bible says about rich people. You know what I'm saying? And
No, keep going. We don't know what you're saying.
Okay. Well, it's actually not money's the root of all evil. It's that
the love of money
is the root of all evil. They say money can't buy you happiness, I'd like to give it a shot. Okay.
There's always an exception to the rule, right?
I'd like to try it and see if that's true. All right, what's your story now?
So I want to talk to you about the Democrat candidates. They have some crazy candidates.
Do we have to?
Well, starting with Graham Platner in Maine, the Senate candidate, the Democrat candidate for senator in Maine, who was going to run against Susan Collins, who's a Republican in name only, according to a lot of...
She's a moderate Republican.
Very moderate Republican. She's an East Coast Republican.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy, Graham Platner, has been just one distraction after another, after scandal, after scandal, after scandal, both his sexual life...
Are you sure we're not talking about Bill Clinton here?
Yeah. Well, they should have learned, but they didn't.
Okay.
And one of the things he... early in life, when he was in the military, got a tattoo. It's called a Totenkopf tattoo, and it's a Nazi symbol. And he knew, according to those who knew him back then, he knew it was a Nazi symbol, even though now he says he doesn't. So anyway, he's covered it up and everything with
tattoo. Excuse me, real quick. You're telling me the man is saying he didn't know what he was having tattooed on his chest?
That's what he's saying.
Go ahead.
Well, but here's the thing. Democrats continue to support this guy. Scandal after scandal. I can't even talk about some of the scandals. They're so gross.
It's a team sport, politics.
Well, it is. And you have people like Ro Khanna and Mark Warner. They're still supporting him. I could play them, but they're just saying, we're not sure. We don't know enough about him. Let's play cut five. This is what Democrats are saying.
Misogynistic. They were shameful. They were wrong. He's talking about taxing billionaires. Susan Collins is for tax breaks to billionaires. And he's opposed to this foreign war where Susan Collins supported the war in Iran. And that's why I'm still supporting him.
I don't know Mr. Platner. I've never met him. I would just say this. The allegations are made. I think he ought to have at least some attempt to prove whether they are disprove them if that's the case.
What's your point of bringing this up?
Well, I want to go how deep this goes, because the question is, can someone this radical actually win in America?
In Maine? In Maine?
In Maine,
yeah.
Maybe. Well, maybe. We're going to find out if they're going to have the same test in Texas in a second. But I just want to play this one thing. This is a lady, kind of a man on the street. This was at a rally, and they asked this regular voter if she supports Graham Plattner. What about the Nazi tattoo? And this is what she had to say. Cut 18.
How do you kind of
somebody said that they talked to somebody who had seen one of those or wore one of those, and it was silver, and it didn't even occur to him that it was the same thing. I think people are making as much of it as they can. These don't have a lot of substance around anything else, and if they did, we'd hear about it. Believe me, they are trolling for dirt.
What if he has like a Israeli flag tattoo or something? Would that be a deal breaker
for me? Honestly, yeah.
That would be
Israeli? Yeah, because I don't support genocide, and he doesn't either. And that would show that he was being inconsistent. And he's been very consistent about that.
Yeah.
Straight across the board.
We don't mind the Nazi tattoo, but the Israeli flag, you know, we don't like genocide. The Nazi tattoo's okay, but we don't like genocide.
Yeah. She's a far lefty right there. But I think politics today... Listen, we understand, Americans understand that when people run for office, they're not perfect people. And they've all got skeletons in their closet, just about everybody does. So I think everybody filters that out, considers that.
They seem to be, at least in Maine.
There probably are things that disqualify somebody in the minds of people, but politics is a team sport today. And so you defend your guy and your team, and you ignore their blemishes, and you... emphasize their positives. That's both sides do that. So
let me give you just one more example from Texas.
Okay, who are we talking about?
This is a guy named Zul Muhammad.
Zul?
Zul.
I'm already out, but go ahead.
Zul.
What's Zul Muhammad running
Zul
for?
Zul is Pakistani, and he is now in the country, and he's running for mayor of Carrollton, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. It's near Dallas.
Okay.
And he was asked about what he supports and doesn't support. Cut 15.
Believe a guy who hates American veterans, who gave him the freedom to say what you're saying.
No one gave me freedom. My parents are the only people that made sacrifice. No vet has made any sacrifice. I want to make that clear. I do not support the U.S. military. No, I do not support the United States. I look down on both entities. I want to make that clear.
You don't vote. How do you feel about veterans?
I don't support veterans.
So do you think he can win in Texas?
No.
I hope
not. In Carrollton. In Carrollton, I don't know where he would. Maybe Austin. He might be able to win in Austin, but I just don't. This guy.
He's not running in Austin. He's just.
So what was he? Is he a legit candidate, or is he a wackadoodle?
Is he both? He is registered. Yeah. Obviously, you can characterize.
He's
his
a wackadoodle.
Politics,
yeah.
But he is a legitimate candidate. He is running for mayor.
He's a Democrat nominee.
He is on the ballot. I don't know how
it's north
they
of Dallas.
What I'm saying is, anybody can announce they're running for mayor. And has he won a primary, and is he the Democrat mayor?
I'm not sure of.
Okay.
I'll have to check.
Fred, you haven't weighed in on it. You agree with Lou?
It's interesting. Our first story today was about this poll about the growing number of people who live here who don't think America is very good anymore.
Right.
And it goes to this attitude. I mean, we've done stories over the last several, like critical race theory and all these sorts of things. We have educators and others out there that are now trying to convince the American people that this is a bad country. And some of them are running for office.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Plattner there in Maine or this guy in Carrollton, they don't like this country. But I guess what's shocking, guys, is they're getting elected.
Yeah.
Zoran Mamdani got elected.
Yeah. But still, consider it's New York City.
I know.
I mean, they're far left.
I know,
they've always been blue. But they did have Michael Bloomberg.
Well, you got Tellerico though in Texas.
Texas, yeah,
he's running as the Senate.
Yeah, but he doesn't present himself as far as a wackadoodle. He may be, but he didn't come across that way publicly.
Yeah,
talking about Tellerico. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go ahead, Steve. What's your next story?
Just know, we don't have to get into this too much if you don't want to, but it looks like that in Los Angeles, Republican who was just about ready to win second place and be on the ballot is not going to. Yes,
The mayor's race in L.A.
In L.A. This is
Spencer Pratt.
Spencer, I think his first name wasn't coming to you. Spencer Pratt has fallen behind the third place into third place behind Nithya Raman. Now only the top two make the November ballot. And so if it's two Democrats, that's what they're going to choose.
Raman's her name?
Raman is her name.
Like Ramen Wackadoodle?
Like the noodle.
I mean, Wackadoodle? Wackanoodle?
There you go. I see what you did.
Ramen Wackadoodle.
You missed it the first try, but that's...
Hey, go ahead.
Spencer Pratt was ahead by an insurmountable... He's going to overcome... something has never been done. He had an 8-point lead after they had counted a certain percentage of ballots, and all of a sudden, the ballot counting started going the other way.
What do you mean, all of a sudden?
Well, I'm looking at a line graph.
You think he was cheated?
A lot of people think he was cheated.
Why'd he run?
Because he thought he might be able to get second place, and he was winning second place. So, yeah. Can he win first place? I don't know.
Well, no. Here's my thing. Karen Bass is the mayor of L.A., mm-hmm. and she won first place. Mm-hmm. She's the current mayor, Democrat. Because she didn't get over 50%, there's going to be a two-person runoff. Right, right. And so that's what they're trying to determine. The problem is you have mail-in votes out there in Los Angeles. And they give them. How long do they give them to come in?
I think they have 10 days after the election to get them in and everything. And there's a law out there that says they cannot check the signatures. They cannot.
What could go wrong there?
I know.
Let me ask you this. I know maybe none of us here on this panel, as distinguished as it is, knows the answer to this question. How is it that Florida, a state of 23, 24 million people, I think it is, can have an election and have all the votes of the whole state of Florida counted by 10 p.m. on election night?
It's option A. They want to.
Yes.
But yet you have California, just a city mayoral race. I say just a city mayoral race. I mean, there's several
compared million, to the state of Florida generally.
Several million people that live in Los Angeles. I understand that. But you're going to go on for
week and a half.
A week and a half, 2 weeks to decide to count. But this sounds so third world almost. Why is there if I were to ask Steve, maybe you don't know the answer to this. If I were to ask the leadership of Los Angeles, why do you do this instead of just having people come in and vote on election day and getting it over with? What would they say to me?
What would they say, or what's the real reason?
Both. Tell me both.
What they would say is that they want to make sure every vote is counted, and so they're being very careful and counting everyone by hand and putting them in the machine, and they just want to be extra careful.
I know you got something real quick, but Florida does that and does it.
Yeah.
And they
vote by mail in Florida, or you can vote absentee in Florida. You just have to do it prior to the election day.
Right. Yes.
Right.
I'm not the only one saying this, but the other answer is it takes a couple days to figure out how many votes you need to overcome if you're behind.
Okay, now here's where I understand what you're saying, and I've been hearing this. You sound like you've been listening to President Trump a lot. Let me just say this about that, and I know this may upset some people, so I'm going to tell you ahead of time. I don't like it when Republicans run for an office, lose, and then claim it was rigged against them.
Like Hillary Clinton did.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I'm sure he doesn't like that either.
I don't know if she used the word rigged, but anyway, here's my point in that. If Spencer Pratt, the Republican nominee, and I give him kudos for running a good campaign.
He did.
He got a lot of votes, but not near enough to win because Los Angeles is a lost cause. So I don't know why he ever thought he could win, but I guess every politician thinks they can win when they first start campaigning. But I would just say I don't like it when you run, Spencer Pratt knew ahead of time how the votes were going to be counted.
The rules.
He knew the rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So don't complain about the rules. I'm not saying he is.
I don't know if he is.
I don't know if. I'm just saying don't complain about the system and run a race and then say, well, I lost, therefore I was cheated. I don't think he said that necessarily. But some officials, some people do.
This is the only thing that he has said.
He said, Spencer Pratt, the guy, the Republican out there, said a net swing, 43,000 votes, huh? Where have I seen that number before? Probably nothing.
It's 40. There are 43,000 homeless people that each got ballots as well.
Yeah, do you understand, Fred? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. Kind of, it comes off as sore loser. I did hear one report from a guy who said his mom died 10 years ago, but she keeps showing up to vote.
Because she keeps getting that's what I'm saying. It's ripe for fraud. I'm not saying that it is. That system is terrible, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. To be able to count votes for 10 days after an election, who's supervising this? How do you even know that the votes are real people that aren't dead?
That they are citizens.
That's what I was about to say.
What now?
How do you even
know they're American citizens? Yeah, who verifies this?
Remember what Karen Bass said last week? We love all Angelenos. We don't care where they're from or how they got here.
Yeah. I just know that people in Los Angeles would, they would say, we can't learn anything from Florida, or certainly learn anything from somewhere like Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when we vote here in Mississippi, it's like many other states, people listening right now, you go in. Polling booth? I mean, you go into the polling desk. What's your name? Tim Wildman. See your ID, please. Present my driver's license. They check me off as he has come and he has voted. Here's your ballot, sir. Right over there, you go over there and you mark your ballot. And right over there, you go over there and put it in the machine. See you later.
Yep.
Okay. So they, know I'm a legitimate citizen. I'm registered. And so I'm eligible. So, and I've got my ID to prove who I am. Mm-hmm. I say who I am. Mm-hmm. So how do you improve on that?
And if somebody were to pretend like they were you, when you came in and they would have already checked off the person that pretended, you could have said, no, I haven't.
Right. But you would find that out.
Yes.
I'm just saying, I just don't know. It seems to me when you get into all these mail-in votes for millions of people, and you can't even, and some of these places have same day registration. That's just insane. Mm-hmm. How can you even verify the eligibility of a person if you're letting them vote the day of, register to vote the day of the election?
Yeah.
I just don't.
This is not.
I think if people on the left can't understand the skepticism that people have of these kinds of processes, like we're seeing in Los Angeles, I think they're just intentionally denying reality. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Wesley and Fred and Brent Creeley, our producer. Cole Green, our video man. He's got a proper title, but I just call him Video Man. Is he a videographer? Is that what he would be? That would be the... Okay. Anyway, who else? Alex McFarland was on with us. We hope you have a wonderful Monday afternoon and keep listening to American Family Radio. We shall, Lord willing, see you tomorrow.